We're in part five and the final part of this series, Rooted. And this is actually a two-series set. So part one, the first series, has been Rooted, as we've talked about being rooted and grounded. And part two, that we will start next week, is called Fruited. Because after we have been rooted in the Lord, well, then we're supposed to bear fruit. And so we'll talk about that in our next series starting next week. I hope that you'll join us. But let's just quickly review where we've been. We've talked about the fact that God is the creator and the sustainer. The Bible says that in Jesus, all things hold together and have their being. So God created the world, and then he sustains it. He actively keeps it going and holds all things together. And as our world and us as people move away from him, we begin to fall apart. And it started in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve acted independently of God, and it immediately began to cause problems. And those problems aren't just that, you know, you have a bad day. It's that you begin to fall apart. And creation itself is under a curse now, is falling apart. And we are living in the fruit of that reality of moving away from God. And so we talked about that. So then we've looked at, in the middle part of the series, the soil of our lives, that as God wants to implant his word in us, that word is going to have an effect if we are open, if we are receptive to him, and are we ready for God's word to work in our hearts? Are we rooted each day in the love and the sacrifice of Jesus? And that's a reality that is especially important when we live in such uncertain times as we live in now. Because, you know, it's crazy. Stuff's going on, and people are increasingly really upset about everything. And we can't even agree on what we should be upset over. We just all pretty much agree that we should be upset about something and mad at someone. And now we just try to figure out whether we can agree on that, and we can't. So in the midst of such uncertainty with our health, with our economics, you know, maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you're concerned about that. Maybe you are worried about putting food on the table. Maybe you're worried about your health or the health of loved ones. Maybe you're just worried about that the government's about to take over, or you're worried that the government's not protecting you. How do we find security? How do we just get through the day? Because, you know, we worry about whether there's a psychological toll going on, and that is so true. How do we deal with that? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's just pray, and then we're going to open the Word of God and let it speak to us today. So pray with me, please. Father, as we gather together, we've had fun singing your praises and just enjoying music. We've seen just a little bit of your creation. Lord, as we have gone through another week, we have weeks to go as long as you leave us on this planet. As we live in the middle of a historic time in the life of our world and live in the midst of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anger, frustration, and fear. Lord, I pray that this morning that you will quiet our hearts and quiet our minds, and that your word would speak life and truth into our hearts, and that your spirit would then take control of us and yield a different outcome. So, Lord, may your word find a receptive heart this morning in each of us. And may we take your word in and allow it to take root in our lives. Be with our study now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So just a few things to note in that passage, because many of us are familiar with that. Some of us, if you grew up in church, you may have grown up singing, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. So you may be very familiar with this passage. But the thing is, notice, sometimes we say, so you need to listen to the word of God. But this is not a parable about listening, because both builders listened. Both heard the word of God. The difference between the wise and the foolish is whether they acted on it. And a lot of times, I think just the fact that, you know, you can sit there this morning, you can listen to that and go, oh, yeah, that was good. You can send me a text and say, oh, that was a good message. That really spoke to me this morning. And that's nice. But it's fairly meaningless unless something changes. And I find that happens, you know, as a parent a lot. I'll tell my kids something and they'll go, I know. Well, knowing is not really the battle. It's acting on it. The word needs to actually take root, not just land on you. And that was the parable of the sower. The seed just can't land on you. It's got to take root in you. There has to be a response. The other thing that is very clear in this passage is that the storm comes. And I think a lot of times, especially as we have lived in a pretty secure Western culture where our biggest worries have been minor political things, and we didn't treat them as minor, we've treated them as major. You know, every time the wrong candidate gets in, it's the end of the world, right? And yet, we've gone on. But now we're faced with really some more serious threats. And even then, I mean, other than you have a harder time finding toilet paper, maybe. But for many of us, it's just gotten harder. But we're not still in a complete crisis of existence. But we are much more aware of that sort of thing, because storms come and violent times come. And right now, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, but right now, some of us are treating like the fact of being asked to wear a mask or follow an error in a grocery store is a massive threat to our existence. And boy, how will we handle a bigger storm if we're ready to collapse over some of these minor things? But the important thing is, storms come. And storms are going to come. And notice, it describes it pretty violently. It says, the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. This isn't just a rainy day. It's so violent that a house that doesn't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter how well the house is built, it wipes the house out. And sometimes I think we've forgotten that God, Jesus, was very clear on it could get really bad. So that's the first thing. The second passage I want to look at is Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when we put these two together, a powerful picture emerges. There's so much in just these four verses. Be anxious for nothing. So if you have to wait in line at Walmart, or you're asked to wear a mask, or you can't find toilet paper, or you've lost your job, Jesus says, be anxious for nothing, but instead, always rejoice. That's a rough one. I find it easy to be anxious and hard to rejoice. And I'm betting you do too. And then he's not done. This one's really convicting. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Gentle spirit. Well, there are exceptions for that, obviously, because when we want to talk about our politicians or those people that we think are plotting against us, or even just the opposition party, whatever, whenever we want to talk about some of those things, we can speak harshly, then we can, because that, let your gentle spirit, don't be anxious, rejoice, and let your gentle spirit be known to all men. What does that include, according to the Bible? Well, it includes that we are ministers of reconciliation. In other words, we're trying to bring people together, be reconciled, and to be patient with one another. Patience. Right now, there is so much impatience in our society, right? We're sick of it. Gentle spirit known to all men. The Lord is near. Stay in touch with God. By everything in prayer and supplication, let God know what you need. Talk to God. Stay in touch with Him. It's too easy to get in touch with everyone else about what your frustrations and what your fears and anxieties are. And it says, but no, the Lord is near. Pray. Stay in touch. And then Paul says, and when you do this, you will experience peace beyond comprehension that will guard your heart and mind. Because our hearts and minds are where the anxiety and the fear and the stress and the anger all take root, right? So don't be anxious. This is what it means to build on the rock. This is what it means to be secure. So let me ask you this morning, how is your house? Is it solid? Is it secure? We're in the midst of a storm, and I'm not sure that we're even through the worst of it. I think that we have only begun to see both the economic toll, and here in Maine, we've been largely spared from the virus so far. But that doesn't mean that it's not coming. We have no way to stop it. All we can do is slow it down, and we're sick of doing that. So the storm may get worse. And our society is probably not going to get less angry and less stressed. So how's your anxiety? Are you sleeping well? Do you lay awake at night and the fear and anxiety is starting to really prey on your mind and heart? There are people struggling. And I've experienced that. It's hard to be cooped up. And then it's hard to see the anger, and it's hard to live with your own anger. And if you see that the whole world is conspiring against you, that's probably going to up your anxiety level a bit. Are you sleeping? Are you anxious? And we all may have different things we're anxious over. And you say, well, of course I'm anxious. These are anxious times. Oh, they are so anxious times. But of course, the question is your heart and mind guarded by the peace that goes beyond comprehension? And I'll tell you, mine hasn't always been. Some of you know that even this week I struggled. Because I leave my heart and mind unguarded. Because you know what I don't do? I'm anxious for everything and rejoice in little. I follow this formula in reverse and get the reverse results. Because it is not enough to hear God say that I've got you. I have to act on that. I can't just hear the word. I have to act on the word. Then I'm on the rock. And yet too often we know the word like crazy, but doing it, we're like Paul. I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it because I'm a wretched man in sin. And so then my heart and mind are not guarded by peace because I am not rejoicing. I am not staying unanxious, but instead praying. And so I don't end up with peace. I'm not secure. And I need to do better. And I'm betting a lot of us do. See, what we want security by making the storm go away. And so we direct our efforts at the humans that we think can fix it. The humans that can make the bad thing go away, fix the virus, fix the economy, stop messing it up if I think you're the one messing it up. And so maybe you look at people who won't wear masks and you go, you're putting us all at risk, you selfish jerk. Or you're looking at the governor and saying, you're putting the economy at risk, you selfish jerk. Or you look at whatever. And you, because why? Stop making the storm. I'm tired of the storm. Make it go away. And that's not in here. Jesus didn't give us a formula for making the storm go away. He gave us a formula for standing in it. By being rooted on the rock. Because sometimes the storm isn't going anywhere for now. And even if you get over one storm, the next one will come. You know, maybe your marriage is in trouble. Maybe being home with the kids and being home with your spouse this much, maybe you guys are not getting along. And you say, man, if he or her would just fix this, if we could just fix this, then we'd be okay. And it's, you want the storm to go away. But the storm isn't the problem. Just like the storm wasn't the problem in the parable Jesus told. The foundation's the problem. Because there'll always be another storm until Jesus comes back. So you're not going to find security by outrunning, dodging, or just waiting for a storm to go away. Our security is by being built on the rock, which is not just hearing the word of God, but allowing it into our lives to change what happens inside. So how much rejoicing are you doing? Knowing that I would need to be able to be in the right spot with God this morning to share, I knew that I needed to go to church last night. And I'm so thankful for the friend that I've made in his name is Chris, and he's one of the pastors down in Australia. And he and I have just become friends over the computer. And just attending church at his church online, the same as we're doing now, but singing along with his worship team and then listening to him as he brings the word of God. And I just sit there and I'm not having to do ministry. I'm having to listen and have ministry done to me. And I have to take that in and respond. And oh, it was great. Felt the best I felt all week. Why? Well, because finally the peace that doesn't make sense is there. And you know what? Immediately, it was easy afterwards to bump into something else and start going, oh, what's wrong with that person? And my peace, whoop, gone. Why? Well, because I stepped off the rock. And I noticed it this time. I went, whoop, there it goes again. There it goes again. Back into the Word of God. Back into the peace that passes all understanding. So I sang. Might have kept my family awake. I don't know. I sing kind of loud, and I was right downstairs. But I sang. Because that's one of the easiest ways for me to rejoice, is to sing. So my third question, or my second question, I guess, really. How gentle are you being? Because that was in here. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. When you're talking to someone on the phone or in person or online, when you're posting, if you post, how gentle are you being? I notice that even when I mean well, if I am being rooted in my anxiety and rooted in my frustration, my gentleness weakens. And I intend to be gentle, but I'll suddenly realize I'm not being, and I wound people. And that should be a sign to me that my house is beginning to fall. That my anxiousness is in control, not the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. So how gentle are you being? How gentle are you being if you have a spouse and maybe you guys are not doing well? How gentle are you being? How gentle are you being with your children or with your parents? How gentle are you being with your coworker, or your neighbor, or that person in the grocery store who stood too close to you? Or the worker who told you you had to put on a mask? How gentle are you being as you talk about other people? Because that will be a reflection of if you're on the rock or if you feel threatened. Because if you feel threatened, then you do not feel safe and secure. And when we are on the rock, even when the storm is beating against that house, it just stands there. It just stands there. How you doing? Oh, we are in remarkable times. And we need to pray for each other. We need to be gentle with each other. We need to be gentle with this world. And by doing so, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love each other. And we are in a time where if we as believers could really make that our identity, oh my word, the revival I think we would see would be amazing. And so let's quit worrying about all this stuff. Take it seriously? Yes. Take the economy seriously. Take the virus seriously. Take the government seriously. But be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May that be not just cool words on a page, not an inspiring thing to hang on the wall, but how you live each and every day. And may that be true of me. And may we help each other as we struggle with making that real.